We need your help. We need your strength. We need you to stand with us and try to do everything you possibly can for the cause of Jesus. I believe the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now you say, well, what makes you believe that? Well, the signs of the time are fulfilling everywhere. Everywhere. And just recently, the Pope came over, which had to do typically with the coming of the Lord. And then they'll have the space shuttle ready to go pretty soon. And I noticed that after the Pope came over, the paper estimated 25,000, whereas the police said 75,000 perverts, people who are perverted, gathered around the White House. 75,000 men, women, whatever. Can you imagine? 75,000. And they're demanding what they call equal rights and whatever. Whereas the Bible very emphatically states that when these kind of people come on the scene and begin to prevail, that it would be the end of the world. Paul warned that that would be the end of the world. They've never shown themselves before, never. They've always been around, but they've never united together and shown themselves before. Satan has never united his kingdom before like he's doing now. And Paul said that that would be the thing that would bring fire, in that it was fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And it is a true fact that we're living right in the final analysis of things, the great finale, as they say. And it is a true fact that everything is at an end. 75,000 people demanding rights, and I say that they will get it. It will, might take them a little while, but I say that it won't be long, and they'll get those rights. They'll pressure them until they get those rights. And when they get those rights, you can mark my words, the end of the world will come. Now watch and see. As long as they don't get rights to go on, the Lord will tarry and work with us. But from the time that they receive their rights, things will start winding up, because that will be the end. The Lord will from that time on get ready to rain fire and brimstone. Billy James Hargis is pulling off of the scene unless something happens, which it might. It may happen. But he is discouraged. Other great ministers are pulling off the scene. The lights are going out. Everything's getting dark. Communism, obviously, has taken over, just like we said that it would do. When that flag went up, that indicated it. And when Billy Graham made his apology concerning communism, that strengthened the people's hands so much toward communistic conviction, in that he carries so much weight with the people, until Billy James Hargis didn't have a chance. So, you see where we're standing. You see the condition of everything, and you see just exactly where we're standing. Now it's up to you and I to try to hold on to God. Try to cry out to God. Let's read a little bit in the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Folks, we're going to have to remember one thing, and that is God is a jealous God. You're dealing with a jealous God. You know, if you had to live with a jealous man, or if you had to live with a jealous woman, you'd understand what is meant by a jealous God. Because a jealous man, when he feels, thinks, or knows that his wife has been untrue to him in any way, he gets furious enough to kill. A jealous woman is the same way. She gets furious enough to kill. The Bible teaches that nothing won't pacify him. And the Bible said, I am a jealous God. My name is jealous. He said, my name is jealous. Paul said, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one, even to the Lord Jesus. I seek to present you unto him without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. There is nothing that God hates any more than a whore. There is nothing that God hates any more than a whoremonger. The book of Revelation emphatically states that they will have no part in the kingdom of God. He hates it. And when he sees that, it reminds him of a spiritual whore or a spiritual whoremonger. It reminds him of one who spiritually will not obey and honor the word of God, that wants to slip around the edges or cut the corners or just be a little bit off of the word. Add just a little bit of this that's worldly and a little bit of that that's worldly and a little bit of this that's fleshly and a little bit of that that satisfies the intellectual mind. See, God looks on that as whoredom, and God hates it. That's why that he hates the prostitute the way he does and the whoremonger, because it shows Satan and the false church. So then, I am a jealous God, he said, and we've got to remember that God, being jealous, if we do one little thing, he's going to get upset. Because he said we are to cast down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Christ every thought. And David said, even to the intent of our heart. We are to bring this into subjection to God, this whole heart. In the day that you seek me with your whole heart, then you'll find me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayers, David said. All right, so we're dealing with a jealous God, and he really gets upset. Now, I'm going to back up to the 16th chapter here of Jeremiah and read this whole chapter, maybe a little bit of the other, to let you know how God feels when you do wrong. He said concerning Israel, he said, thou hast played the harlot under every green tree with your lovers. The 16th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, at the first verse, the word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons nor daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine. And their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven, and for the beasts of the earth. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves from them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes, and in your days the voice of merit, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, Wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity, or what is our sin, that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, Because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land, into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, The Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them, and after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altar. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shall discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the potterage sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hasted from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. You know, I read quite a bit of scripture. The reason for that, I've often said that numbers of people never bother to read the Bible as a rule. They come to church, but before they come during the day, they never read their Bibles. They never study. They never pray. They never really talk to God. And they are altogether dependent upon what the minister says to bring them deliverance or to bring them a word from God. So then, a lot of times I read the Bible. I read maybe a chapter, chapter and a half, or two chapters, which it doesn't take but a very few minutes to do that. And that way we become acquainted with God's Word, and we hear God's Word enough to where we that are listeners will know whether or not the minister is speaking the truth. If I read the Word of God to you from time to time, then you, as of a certainty, understand and know whether or not I am telling you the truth. Because your mind will flash back to the foundation that I've given it concerning the Word. That's why that I read like I do. Here God, again, is pointing out how that He is a jealous God. How that He is upset with Israel. Knowing that all of these things are an example to the church, then we should greatly fear. Because when Paul refers back to the old Bible, refers back to the law, and refers back to Israel, he refers back to them as being the church in the wilderness, which is typical of the church of today that is caught within the carnal reasoning of the things of this life. And he tells us that all of those things happened back there that we might understand and have an example, knowing God's likes and knowing God's dislikes and knowing what's distasteful to God, that we might by those things prosper, and that we might by those things adjust our ways and our lives so that they will better measure up to God's ways and fit God's program through life. Doing this, it gives us a chance to be healed. It gives us a chance to be saved. It gives us an opportunity to prosper in life and not have the wrath of God upon us all the time. Nobody wants the wrath of God upon them all the time. How horrible it is to think that I, as an individual, have to go through life with me and my wife and my little children all the time, having the wrath of God blistering hot against me, blazing against me all the time. How awful that is to think that I would have to do that. And I'm so glad tonight to know that because of the shed blood of Jesus, that I don't have to do that, and that if the wrath of God comes upon me, it is all because of my negligence or my unconcern or my willful contrariness to conform to His likes and dislikes. So then, brethren, I as an individual, speaking for me and my family, as Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to command my household after me to the best of my ability because we are going to serve God. I'm not planning to have God's wrath poured out upon me just so that I can enjoy the frivolous things of the world or the beggarly elements of the world or satisfy this old body just a little bit. I'm not planning to do that. I plan to serve God with all of my heart, all of my strength. I plan to give Him my mind, to give Him my desire. All of the endeavors of my life centers around the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to pray. I like to fast. I like to study the Word. And I just love to be completely engrossed in the Word of God. I love to be wrapped up in the Word of God. You know, God suffers little things here and there to interrupt my prayer life and interrupt my studying, because if He did not, there wouldn't be too much that you'd see of me. You know, He does that to force me out among you. And my wife can tell you, on the field, there wasn't too much that she got to see of me as far as really being with me. Because what little time I was around her, my mind was on God. My mind was in the Spirit. And I was always wanting to be in my room and talking to God. I'd be away by myself talking to God. And if I come around her, I'd sit there and maybe she'd be talking to me. My mind still be out there in the Spirit and be on God. Because I just love that kind of thing. I find it's a great world. It's a great place to be. And every time you come into this dimension called the world, you get into that thing, and when you do, you're in a world of thorns. You're in a world of briars. See, we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing in this world for us but sorrow. Now, if you are part of the beast system, if you are one of the sons of men, then there's plenty in the world for you. You can enjoy sin for a season. Have your great income, have your great banquet, have your great enterprise in this world, and just do great things, you know, and just live it up day after day. But if you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, every time you enter into this realm, there's going to be the thorns waiting on you, going to be the nails waiting on you, going to be the whip waiting for you. Always going to be persecution, going to be sorrow, going to be heartaches, because you're the body of the Lord Jesus. The world loves its own, but the world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. The world hates you because you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you was of the world would love you because you would be part of it. The world loveth its own. If you don't believe the world loveth its own, you go out here and you go to college and you study to be doctors and lawyers and a great money men, and you go out there and you join their societies and you get with their ranks and you eat and drink with the drunken, and you go out there and be part of their parties and part of their frolics, and you contribute to their cause and see if they don't link up with you and see if you don't become a good fella or an odd fella or whatever they call you. You know, and they put you in there with the rest of them and make you one of them. They'll do it every time. But if you belong to God, they're not going to have anything to do with you, because you're not going to belong to the odd fellas. They're going to let you belong to the oddballs. There's a difference between the odd fellas and the oddballs. And they consider you an oddball and themselves the odd fellow. So then I have learned that if I am to please God, I cannot please mankind. Cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh, that goeth down into Egypt for his help. Cursed is that man that's always interested in the educational side of life, always interested in the financial side of life. Cursed is that man that's always interested in the prosperity side of life. Cursed is that man. But blessed is the man that looketh to God. Blessed is the man that's interested in spiritual things. Blessed is the man that wants to reach souls for God and save souls and pull souls out of the fire for Christ Jesus. Blessed and holy is that man. So then we find that God is a jealous God. God has chosen Himself a wife. He has chosen Himself a bride. And He expects her to be His wife. He expects her to be His bride. What man is there among us tonight that has a companion that would be satisfied to find his companion always with her mind on somebody else? What man is there among us that would be pleased to find his wife always interested in doing something for some other man? There is not one among us that has any understanding that would be pleased with that. Isn't that right? We would get very indignant, and we'd be real upset about it, and we'd just say, well, now look, if you're going to be their wife, you're not going to be my wife. You can't be my wife and his wife too. Isn't that right? That's the way I feel about it. I'm sure most of you feel the same way about it. Well, see, why are we so unreasonable with God? Why do we feel like we do toward God? Why is it we don't understand that God feels the same way about his wife? I might say, well, Brother Pike, you know, I understand that we are God's wife, but we really ain't God's wife. We just say that we're God's wife because we're supposed to think we're God's wife and act like we're God's wife, but really we're not God's wife. Now, you know, that don't make sense now, does it? But that's the way a lot of people think, you know. They think like that. Really, we're not, but you know, it's just a manner of Bible, and it's a manner of saying that, and really we're not that at all. It's just, you know, we have to think like that. But folks, I want you to know that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am married unto him. And Christ is married to us, not just as much as I'm married to my wife, but more. Because death can separate me and my wife. But brother, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And the kind of engagement that he has is a permanent thing. When God has a marriage, it don't mean that he marries this one today and then he changes his mind tomorrow and marries somebody else. You are a son of God once and for all. You're not a son of God today and a bastard child tomorrow. You're not born into the kingdom today and born out of the kingdom tomorrow. That kind of religion don't make sense to me. That's never made sense to me. I don't see how people get along that go to churches where they teach such things. You know this thing about you're born into the kingdom today and tomorrow you're born out of the kingdom. And somebody say, well, that is a wonderful person. You say, well, why do you say that? Say, he's such a Christian. He's been such a great Christian for 10 years. And then about 2 weeks later, you go back. They say, well, that old hypocrite, why, he don't belong to us. But you say, but why is that? You said he was a wonderful person. Well, he was. Say, well, why was he a wonderful person? Well, he was a son of God. Say, well, what is he today? Well, he's not a son of God. You know, I don't understand that kind of talk. See, I don't understand how a man could be a son of God today and not be a son of God tomorrow. Now, if you know how you can do that, I want you to explain it to me. But churches like that would drive me crazy. They'd drive me out of my mind. I don't understand how you can be clean and holy and righteous today and dirty and filthy tomorrow. I don't understand that kind of thing. See, you are either God's or you're not God's. You either belong to God or you don't belong to God. You're either born again or you're not born again. Now the Bible said, he that is born of God, the evil one toucheth him not. Never toucheth him. The Bible said he keepeth himself. He's got the power to keep himself. And the evil one toucheth him not. Because the seed of God is in him. The word of faith is on the inside of him. And he is a son of God. He is born of God. He is clean and he is holy. He is just and he is upright. He is a son of God every day in the week. He was a son of God before the world ever started. In the foreknowledge of Christ. He is a son of God when he comes on the scene from the mother's womb. He is the Son of God until this world ends. He is the Son of God throughout eternity after this world has perished. Now you say, Brother Pike, don't you have to be born again to be a son of God? That's true, you do. You have to be born again to be a son of God. You say, but now you say that he was the Son of God before he ever came in the world. That's true. That's true. Because the Bible says that God, back in the Old Testament, spoke to Job and said, Job, where was you when the sons of God leaped for joy? Now, where was the sons of God? Say, well, that was the ones that was born back there. There couldn't have been none born back there. Because the born-again experience didn't come to Calvary. How were the sons of God back there? They were in God's foreknowledge. That's what it was. God saw down through the years, looking in all of that, saw the sons of God leaping for joy and praising God. He saw it. He saw those wonderful things back there. We are the sons of God. We were the sons of God. We shall forever be the sons of God. Because we are God's sons. We are born of God. We keep ourselves. The evil one touches us not. We stay clean and we stay holy. We stay righteous. We stay pure. How do we do that? By God's strength. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm just not strong enough to do that. But the Bible said, be strong in the power of my might. In the power of my might, he said. See, I am strong in the power of God's might. I'm not strong in the power of my might. I was born again. Hallelujah. I was born in the might of my Father to begin with. But when it speaks of the sons of God, it says that Jesus wasn't born of the will of man. He wasn't born of human desire. He didn't come into this world by human desire. He was born by God's Spirit, by the will of God. That's how he got into the world. And today I am born of his bone. I am flesh of his flesh. Today I am born to the will of God. I am begotten of God. I am born to the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I have begotten you in Christ. All right. So then I am a son of God tonight. I do not go this way and that way. I have but one way to go. That's God's way. Years ago, I said, God, I must know the right way. I said, I cannot tell the right way. I said, I am confused. I said, there are so many ways to go, Father. I said, I hear this preacher and I hear that preacher and I hear this person and I hear that person. And I said, I cannot tell. I'm very confused. I don't understand. I can't get my bearings. I don't know what to do. And Jesus spoke very clearly to me and Jesus said, I am the way. The truth and the life. He said, you follow me. And you know, I thought about that and I said, glory to God, that's the right way. That's the way I'm supposed to go. And from that time on, I have followed his way. I don't wonder about it. I don't try to figure it out or say, well, maybe I'm on the wrong trail or maybe I'm following the wrong way or maybe this is the wrong church or that's the wrong preacher or whatever. I found the way. Hallelujah. And I follow God's way. Every day I follow God's way because this is the right way. All right, so I recommend this way to you. God is a jealous God. We belong to the Lord. Tonight, we should be holy. We should be pure. I tell you this again in the love of God. The Lord doesn't want a half-hearted person. God doesn't have any use for you if you are a half-hearted person. If you're one of those people that just say, well, Lord, I'm not interested in 100-fold. I'm just trying to make 30-fold. I'd like to do something in this world. I'd love to have a little something in this world, so I'm not really interested in 100-fold. Just give me about 60 and that'd be all right. And I'll take the rest of it down here. God's not interested in you. God's not interested in you. You don't have any part in God. Not any part in God. You got to be striving and struggling for 100-fold to get 30-fold. Amen. If you try for 100-fold and you do your very best to get it and then you fall short, then God will let you have 30 or 60-fold or whatever to keep you from falling. He will help you. But beloved friend, you're going to have to try to be perfect. See, the Bible said, let us go on to be perfect. I preached on this the other night. Let us go on to be perfect. Somebody would say, well now, Brother Pine, if you talked about being perfect the other night, why do you talk about it tonight? Because you haven't got perfect yet. Now everybody got perfect since I preached. Last can stand up and we'll preach something else. But in the case you haven't, then we need to talk about it some more. Isn't that right? So then it said, let us go on unto perfection. Not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance. Let's don't lay the foundation of repentance over and over. Foundation are good. But the foundation of Christianity is repentance. But let's don't lay the foundation over and over. Let's don't just keep on blowing up. Have
having a temper, saying something wrong, doing something that we ought not to. Let's just don't keep on erring out here in the world and stepping out a little bit and doing a little something over here and a little something over yonder. Let's don't do that. The Bible said, let us go on to be perfect. Let us go on to be perfect. Let's make some effort to be perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. If you're not perfect, you need to be perfect. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We wish this even the perfecting of your faith. I'm coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, a perfect church. You need to be perfect in God. Somebody will say, well, there just ain't no perfect people. That man's a liar. There is perfect people. The Bible said Noah was a perfect man. A lot of people was perfect. Abraham was a perfect man. The Bible said Mark the perfect man among you. And Paul said, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. See, we should be perfect. If you're not perfect tonight, then there's something wrong with you. You're lacking. You're lacking in God. Say, well, God understands all of those kind of things. Brother Pike, he understands that I'm imperfect, you know, and God knows that I can't help it. You're lying. God knows you can help it. You're not trying to do anything about it. And you'll find out sooner or later God will mark you off his list and leave you behind. Now, I want to remind you again, folks, and you listen to me, we are coming into a dangerous age. This is one of the most dangerous ages that men have ever come into. You have in the past been able to die and go by the way of the grave. Imperfect people just die out, go by the way of the grave, and God brings them forth in the resurrection. But I want you to know that we're getting close to the rapture. And if we're going to be in the rapture, we're going to have to be perfect with God. That's what's going to bring the rapture, is a perfect people with God. There's going to be some that's going to keep on and keep on and keep on until they're going to perfect holiness and the fear of God. And that's what's going to bring the rapture. When we do that, then we'll go in the rapture. All of the others can't take 34 and whatever. You know what happens to them? They go through the tribulation period. You can't die out and say, well, I'll just circle around by the way of the grave and he'll pick me up on the next trip. You can't do that. We're living in a dangerous time. So then the rapture may take place at any time. It could take place at any time. The thing for you to do is be ready. That's the main thing, is be ready. If you're not ready, you need to get ready, because the rapture is getting closer and closer. Now, I know that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And God hath sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. I know that God has done that. I understand that God has done that. I preach that to you. If you wasn't like that, God would kill you in a minute. You wouldn't be able to go. Now, knowing what you know, he wouldn't let you stay here. But whereas God hath perfected us in Christ, made us sons of God, made us perfect in the Lord, yet we're speaking about the redemption of this body, which is that last minute change, which is that rapture that you speak about. We have got to perfect holiness in this body. God hath made us perfect in his sight. But that doesn't mean that you are perfect in your body as far as what you ought to be doing. In God's sight, you are perfect in the event that you should die. That is, if you are a true believer, doing the best you can, then you are perfect in his sight. God's blood makes up for the shortcoming. And should you die, everything would be all right. But brothers and sisters, listen. We are supposed to perfect this body. Enoch walked 300 years with God, and he was not, because God took him. He perfected his faith in God, and he was translated that he should not see death. He made it past the grave because he perfected his faith in God. Now, what you and I have to do is perfect our faith in God, because there's going to be what you call a rapture, what the world refers to as a rapture. There's going to be Paul's Thessalonian change, and we are going to have to be perfect in God if we make that change. So then those that will not go on to that perfection will be left behind. Now you watch what I'm telling you. You say, Brother Pine, You mean to tell me that I've got to get perfect in God? I've got to perfect this body before I can be changed and be translated in my body? I'm not saying it in the way that you understand. I'm saying that the man that is pressing forward, doing his very best, when the rapture takes place, he will be perfect in God. But the man that is making any allowance, just any allowance, he will not make the rapture because he is imperfect in the sight of God right now, and he will be imperfect in the sight of God right then. But brethren, we have even a better opportunity than that. We have a chance to actually perfect this thing within our lives, within our hearts, within our minds. We have the opportunity to perfect our faith and understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got that opportunity right now to be like Enoch. And I'm going to do my best, by the help of God, I'm going to do my best to try to grow more and more in the things of God and love the Lord more and more and realize that he is a jealous God and that I must be without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish if I am to be part of that bride. Now, you can do what you want to. If you just want to be part of the church, as you say, and be here in the church and whatever, you can do whatever you want to. But I want to be in the wonderful bride of Christ Jesus. I want to be part of that bride. These people that's going around across the country, many of Brother Branham followers that saying, we're the bride. That don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing. Why, that ain't worth the time they take to say it. You've got to come into God's word, God's change. Just knowing about a prophet, that doesn't mean anything. I know about Elijah, I know about Moses, I know about Abraham. That isn't going to do me any good. Somebody had a message, that isn't going to do me any good. You've got to do something. We've got to perfect holiness. Now, I know I get a preacher up here, and he just loves to get up here and start shooting at me and banging at me and saying, bless God, you've got to do something for yourself. You can't lean on that, Brother Pye. You can't do this, and you can't die. I know where he's going. I know where he's been. I know what it's all about when he gets up here. But if you were to lean on him, he'd be just as happy as he could be. And he wouldn't preach to you like that no more. I've never heard one of them get up here and start preaching about not leaning on them. It's always leaning on Brother Pike or the pastor. I know Satan's cunningness, but I'm here to tell you the truth. I've told you many times. The Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth on the arm of flesh. You've got to trust in Christ in me. Trust in Christ in me. Follow me as I follow Christ.
Yes, amen. Praise God.
You've got to trust in God in my life. And if I'm going to trust in you, I've got to trust in God in your life. And we've got to find God in each other's life. And we've got to submit ourselves one to another, to that God that's in one another's life. To be led of the Holy Spirit, or God will reject us all. All right. So then, he is a jealous God. He is a great God. But if we're to have anything from God, we're going to have to be perfect. And if you're not doing your best, I tell you tonight, you are imperfect. And I tell you, you're not going to make the rapture. And I tell you that you're not going to heaven. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, you are not going to heaven. If you're not trying to do your very best, you're not even going to heaven. If you die, you're not going to make it. You've got to be trying to do your very best so that if you happen to die, God can take you over the Jordan. And most assuredly, if you live for the rapture, you better be prayed up, packed up, and ready to move out when the trumpet sounds. All right. I'm telling you the truth. I have told you the truth again and again and again. And here we are again in the middle of the week, and I'm telling you the truth again. There's no reason for you not to know and understand. Now, we can blind ourselves and say, well, I don't understand, Brother Pike. But you know you're lying. And the Bible said, lie not against the truth. You know that you're lying. You know that you do understand. So then I exhort you tonight to do your best. To do your diligence. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many shall try. Being religious, they shall try, but they shall not be able. All right, let's stand together. Let us go on to perfection. Let us be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Not too long ago, A man down in Augusta, Georgia, left his wife, married another woman after preaching for many years. Somebody confronted him about it. He had gotten mixed up in the predestinated teachings that Brother Branham tried so hard to explain. And he made the statement that it didn't matter about him, that it was all right, that he could do it. He said the reason was because he was sealed already. That he has been sealed, and he's one of them that's been sealed in. Therefore, it didn't make any difference. But you know, beloved friend, what he did? When he did that evil, wretched thing, it was a positive proof that all down through the years, he was one of them that had not been sealed in. That was a positive proof of it. See, for I tell you again that we are predestinated in Christ Jesus. Which means that as long as we abide in Christ, that's proof of our predestination. If we leave Christ, it's a positive proof that we were not one of the predestinated. To abide in the Word is to abide in Christ, for He is the Word. When we leave God's way of holiness, it's positive proof that we were not predestinated unto eternal life, but rather we are one of the fallen ones that will go into the lake of fire. As long as I abide in the Word, then I am of the Word. I am born of the Word. I am a son of God. But if I do not abide in the Word, then I am a fallen one. So then I tell you tonight, you better check up. We're living in the great hour of temptation, the time of sorrow. Sorrow is coming upon the world. I just heard recently also they made the statement said that building was going to fall off at least 50%. That building would be off. Now, I believe this. I know that America has got to pay for her wrong. She's going to be dwarfed in the sense that her convenience is going to be taken away from her. It won't really be hard times. It won't really be that. It's just that they've been used to so much convenience until it will be a hard time to them. Those that are used to so much convenience. But those that can adjust themselves to the average way of life, it won't be a hard time to them. But the convenience of America will be taken away. But you can be sure that God is doing that to change the government back to the East, to make us a dependency people, that they over there can have control. He always works it like that. Just before the coming of the Lord, he must do that. But there will be prosperity and blessings to the coming of the Lord. They will be eating and drinking right on up until the time Noah entered into the ark. That means until the time of the rapture or the change as it is referred to. Now, that will be, in what I understand, right at the beginning of Daniel's last week. So then, if we are not ready, we should be getting ready. Those little discrepancies and little spirits and things that you feel are so small in your life that trouble me so greatly, you need to get rid of them. I tell you this, you've got them there because you haven't been born again. I tell you that. It's like a man that's right now, he's hit the rocks as far as his Christian experience. The reason was every time the man come around me, we were just like that in the spirit. The man wasn't right with God. He wasn't right with God. I tried to help him, but he'd shy away, stay away from him, because he knew he wasn't right with God. When your spirit repels me and is always crossing me up, as some of you do, though you've been religious for a long time, and I say that you are a believer, but you need that born-again experience. You mark it down, you'd better get it, because you don't have the Holy Ghost. You don't have Him, and you better get Him. And when you get Him, you won't feel that way toward me at all. And you won't have that clash with me in your spirit at all. It won't be there. Because a man with the Holy Ghost don't have that kind of clash. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. You know where the problem is? It's like I said today, the woman at the well. Jesus said, if thou knewest who it is that has spoken to thee or that speaks with thee, But she didn't know. She didn't recognize. She couldn't tell. She couldn't understand. Because the Bible said the wicked shall not understand when good cometh. The God of this world hath blinded their eyes that they cannot see. And that's why they don't understand. Therefore they do not know who it is that talketh with thee. But if they did, and they could take the same attitude, you know, that Jesus took when he went to Gethsemane, they'd be all right. But that's the one thing we all don't like, is the Garden of Gethsemane. We don't like those all-night prayers. We don't like the fasting. We don't like the sacrifice. We don't like having to yield up our position in life. We don't like having to give up the things that we personally would like to do, do we? We don't like to do that. But you know what? Brethren, when we really find him, it'll be a joy and it'll be a jubilance. We'll be glad to do it. We'll delight in doing it. Let's sing that little chorus. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. Can you sing it with me? I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. And where he leads me, I will follow. Will you follow Jesus? Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with him, all the way. He will give me grace and glory. Jesus will give me grace and glory. Oh, he will give me grace and glory. I'll go with him, all the way. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful to think about going with Jesus? To think about going with Jesus. Appreciate these little flowers here that guest George Jr. brought up here. They're real pretty. They're odors. Comes out real smelling, good smelling odors. You know, that's the way we ought to be unto God. A sweet smelling savor unto God. That's the way we ought to be. If we're not a sweet smelling savor unto God, then we're not pleasing unto God. You know, when a person just bathed off and fresh and rested and their body's been deodorized and they're fresh in the sight of, you know, their little family and laid aside the work clothes and done away with the daily odors because of the perspirations, they're so refreshing. And all of that is typical of you and I in the presence of God. We should get under the showers of God every day. Wash away
everything that's unlike Jesus, daily bathing in the waters of life, and letting the great, wonderful Holy Spirit put His precious aroma upon us, that every day we be a sweet-smelling savor unto our God, that we're fresh, lovely in His sight. You know, that's why I like to see a person nice and tidy. They're typical of that. I don't like to see a person that's shiftless and lazy and won't work, stand around waiting to take somebody else's wife, you know, while another man's out working. God don't like that kind of fellow. But a person that can work and be a real he-man, as the world calls it, and then come in and be clean and tidy, and a woman the same way, she can cook and mop her floors and wash the clothes, and to be a little like Cinderella. You know, be a Cinderella for God. Be a real mother. Be a real mother. Be a real mother. And still bathe and clean up and be tidy and neat and not go around, you know, the wrong way. And love your little family. God will bless you. Like I was telling somebody today, they said something about a babysitter. One of the children said, Daddy, you need to get Mama a babysitter so you can go somewhere once in a while. I said, no, that's why I married Mama, so she could be a babysitter. I got me a permanent babysitter, and I don't need another one. That's what you're supposed to marry for, you know, so that you can raise your children, and so the mother can sit with those children and raise those children, teach those children. The trouble with the world today is babysitters. Let's sing one more chorus before we dismiss, can we? No, truthfully, folks, I know that people once in a while have problems. They're compelled to leave their children. But I tell you what's the truth. All you have to do is start doing that, and you'll take your wife's mind off of her children. And when you do, she's gone. That woman's gone. Once you get her mind off of her housework, her house, her family, she's gone. That's right. When a woman loses her desire to do things around the house, she's gone. You haven't got a wife anymore. She's going to be a road runner. She's going to be a gossiper. She's going to be a backbiter. She's going to be a meddler. She's going to be a busybody. She's going to be everything but a wife. But as long as she's got a mind for her children, a mind to love her husband, a mind to guide the house, a mind to keep things in order, you got a wife. And I tell you something else, a woman like that, if she'll serve God, the Bible says she'll be saved in childbearing if she continue, you know, with sobriety and holiness. She's got to continue to be sober. And got to continue to be holy. But the Bible said she'll be saved. Childbearing means being a mother, guiding the home, raising children. You're not going to be saved. I tell you, mothers, it's bad for some of you. Sure as there's a world, sure as you're living in it. There's some women here tonight that unless they do something, I know that they're not going to make heaven. They're missing heaven because they will not do anything at home and stay at home and raise their families. They just run all the time, going all the time, in stores all the time, everywhere all the time. Say, well, Brother Pike, I've already raised my family. Some of you done a poor job of it, I tell you that. It's obvious that you've done a poor job of it. And I say, well, you mean because of they doing like they done? No, it's not that. But because of the way I saw you do while you was bringing them up, you done a poor job of it. You never was around them, hardly ever to teach them or anything else, instruct them. Some of you are not around them now. And I can understand some of the mothers not having the love for the family that they need. Having a husband like you got that's more interested in a dollar, more interested in the things of the world, more interested in some other woman, I can see how you'd be discouraged. But nevertheless, if you get your mind on God, get your mind on your little family. And if you've already raised your family,
Find something to do for God. Don't be a road runner. Don't be going all the time. That ain't no good. You won't never make heaven like that. You're just deceiving yourself. Do something for God. Find a vision for God. Be worth something to somebody. Hallelujah. Don't just be always diked out, dressed up, going uptown to some store so you can listen to the music and look at the 10-cent tinklets. Be around men while your husband's working. That's a poor, poor thing for a wife. All right, let's sing this chorus. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you could have done without all that. I know that's what some of you think, and you didn't say it, but it seemed like I just had to get around to that part of it. Let's sing the chorus, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it with me. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Let's just lift our hands together now. While you're worshiping the Lord, the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the truth tonight, be in the faith tonight. See if your mind is bitter. See if your mind is trouble. See if your mind is always complaining, always sour like, you know, always got an old sour disposition. See if you got the right attitude. See if you're thinking upon Christ and the lovely things of Jesus. See where your mind's at tonight. See what kind of disposition you got. If it's an old, gloomy, cast down, doubting, despondent feeling, always thinking everything's going wrong and nobody cares for you, all because you don't have any perseverance or any real manhood about you or any real womanhood. Always wanting somebody to pity or you blaming somebody. See what kind of person you are, and then you'll find out where a lot of your problem is. Find out why a lot of folks don't want to be around you. A lot of people don't want to be around you, you know. They want a little sunshine. They want a little help. They want a little joy. They want a little jubilance. They want somebody to encourage them. Somebody to lift them up. They're looking for life. See if you can have a little life. And not a giggle, but I mean real, genuine joy and strength in God. Be an inspiration. Wherever you go, be a real light for God. You can do it. You can do it. Ask God for that strength. I feel the Holy Ghost just talking about it. I felt somebody touch God because I felt the Holy Ghost fall on us. You know, you just touch God and say, my God, oh Lord, let me be like that. Ooh, Ramarabashai. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? My, I feel the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, let me be like that. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. The real, genuine Holy Ghost. I feel it. Hallelujah. 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 Oh Lord, we praise thee for thy glory and thine inspiration. Have your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I heard the Spirit say, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, he said. And I heard him say, serving God is joy. peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Did you know tonight, serving God is joy? If you don't have any joy, there's something wrong. Why don't you feel that joy? Can't you make contact? Move the condemnation out of your heart tonight. Rely on Him. Say, Jesus, oh Jesus, what a wonder You are. You're brighter than the morning star. Hallelujah. Lord, I love You. I praise You. I give You glory. You know, I believe God wants us to sing that little chorus. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the jubilance of God. Can you sing it? Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder You are. You're brighter than the morning star. Sing it with me. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You are better, much better, Lord, than gold. Sing it again. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder You are. You're brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're much better than gold. One more time. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder You are. You're brighter than the morning.